Boy, what a beautiful song. The Lord is my shepherd. Greetings and God bless all of you in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Again, thankful to be able to share the greatness of God's word. What a rich treasure chest it is. And in Proverbs, it talks about that we seek that word, dig that word like a hidden treasure. It's going to unfold some great riches to each and every one of us. This morning, I am going to be teaching on the Lord is my shepherd. So if you'll take your Bibles, you have one there with you. Turn to Psalm 23, a familiar psalm. Many times children in Sunday school, I guess, memorize this psalm. But I think it's certainly appropriate during these times, and really at any time, to realize we're not the ones in control. We're not the ones in charge. We're actually following the lead of the great shepherd. And in Psalm 23, and I want you to pay particular attention to the pronouns, the personal pronouns here. This would be the New King James Version. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Well, let's say that a different way. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now, I don't know if every verse has a personal pronoun in there, but there are quite a few. So, you know, theoretically we could put our own names in there. I understand this is the Old Testament, but this is the heart of God being expressed by revelation through David. So the Lord is my shepherd, Barney, his shepherd, Jan, Trish, Vicky, Josh. I shall not want. Well, isn't that a contrast to kind of the way that we perceive life and our role in life? And so maybe the purposes of this teaching is to show you a little bit more about what the heart of the shepherd is and for what his desires are in leading people, which in many cases throughout the Bible, people are referred to as what? Sheep. Now, sheep have really only a few major purposes in life. And one of the great ones is to follow the shepherd. Sometimes sheep can get unruly and they want to go their own way because, you know, like the old saying, the grass is greener on the other side. Somehow looking and searching for something they feel like is not right before them. But the sheep really have a very simple job. The part of the sheep is very simple. It's only to trust and to follow the shepherd. The shepherd does all the rest. He leads the sheep by the right way. He chooses their paths for them, and he sees that they are paths where the sheep can walk in safety. When he moves the sheep, guess what? He's going before them. The sheep have to do none of the planning, none of the decisions to make, none of the forethought or wisdom to exercise. They have absolutely nothing to do but to trust themselves entirely to the care of the shepherd and to follow him wherever he leads. You know what? It's very simple. There's nothing complicated in trusting when the one we are called upon to trust is absolutely trustworthy. And there's nothing complicated in obedience when we have perfect confidence in the power that we are obeying. Here's a great, you remember a gentleman by the name of J.B. Phillips. He actually wrote a translation of the New Testament. He made a statement here. It says, God is not in the slightest degree baffled or bewildered by what baffles or bewilders us. He is either a present help or he is not much help at all. You know, what is going on in the world? What goes on in our life? It's not taking God by surprise. It's like, oh my gosh, this is happening, and now what am I going to do? And God is scrambling somehow to figure out an answer. You know what? It's not taking God by surprise. Our financial situations, our emotional situations, our physical situations, you fill in the blank. God knows, and God has solutions. So what then would be a good course of action? Well, how about that we, let's just say today, right now, right this moment, we begin to trust, and we begin to follow the shepherd. And that we abandon, let's say surrender, we give up ourselves to his care and his guidance as a sheep in the care of a shepherd and trust him completely, have confidence in him completely. You know what? We don't have to be afraid to follow. For he always leads his sheep into green pastures and beside still waters. Remember what this said here, verse 2? He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. Does that sound so bad? Does that like sound like something you wouldn't want to have? I think everybody cries in their heart for exactly what I'm saying here. We don't have to be afraid. No matter what, no matter that we may be seen to be in the midst of a desert with nothing green about us, inwardly or outwardly, and we may think we'll have to journey far before we can get to the green pastures. You know what? The Good Shepherd can turn the very place where we are into green pastures. And I know that's true from the Word, because in Isaiah chapter 35, verses 5 and 6. Here's a paraphrased version. He has the power to make the desert rejoice and blossom as the rose, because he promised, made that promise in Isaiah 35, quote, in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. This is a great promise of God. He can lead us. And remember how personalized that is. Yes, it's David saying it, but you know what? The heart of David, he is a man after God's own heart, just like us. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's taking care of everything. You know, God's favorite image for himself and us is that of that shepherd and the sheep. But it's lost some of its power today, wouldn't you say? I mean, are we that familiar with shepherds and sheep? I mean, occasionally we go by and like, oh, there's a sheep out in the field. I mean, we think it is. I mean, we're not really sure. But there it is, right? We don't know that much about sheep. You know what? We know more about our computers, technology, our cell phones, how things work in the sports world, how guns function, all these different things that we get a lot of information about than we do about sheep. Wouldn't you agree? But the more we learn about sheep, how helpless and completely passive and, excuse this phrase, dumb they are, the more fitting and appropriate the metaphor truly does become. You know what, God, he's a great shepherd. And Jesus Christ is the good shepherd, which you can read all about in John chapter 10. And they never intended to be the only shepherds. As we all know, God planned that leaders be selected as shepherds in every church. Many times we refer to them as pastors. See? They're shepherding, they're leading, they're guiding, but only under the instruction of the great shepherd and the good shepherd working within their hearts. You can read many times throughout the Bible. Ezekiel is a great example of where the pastors and the leaders were leading people down the wrong paths. God was not real pleased about that. See? But the heart of David, who, believe it or not, had a background as a shepherd, right? He went from leading sheep to leading people. And boy, he developed some great courage and strength and a lot of things in his life. But the task of shepherding and tending sheep was not designed to stop just with the leaders in the church. You know, it could be a consideration, something to think about, that God intended for all of us to be shepherds in a way. And for all of us to have a shepherd's heart. We can't just always look to someone else to take care of us. We're many times in the role of we're taking care of others. Whether you find yourself in that position just by default many times, whether it's a relative, a spouse, a friend, or maybe somebody that you're meeting on the street. See, like that example with Al, shepherding, leading, guiding, helping, assisting. So that God intended for all of us to be shepherds and for all of us to have that shepherd's heart. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. And I'm thinking and reading that and I'm like, yes, I could take that. I can use that. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yet that I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I'm not going to be afraid of all the circumstances, intimidating, manipulating things that are going around me because I've got my eyes on the shepherd, the great shepherd. See, he's not leading me astray. You know, in Romans chapter 12, verse 10, there's a couple of verses here. Romans, Philippians, and Galatians, you can look them up if you want or just listen. But we're told to care for each other. Romans 12:10 says to be devoted to one another in brotherly love, honor one another above yourselves. In Philippians 2:4 it says each of you should look not only to his own interests, but also the interests of others. And in Galatians 6:12 it says carry one another's burdens. So, you know, when God, through Paul, tells us to be imitators of himself in Ephesians 5, 1. Remember that? Be ye followers of me and walk in what? Love. You know what? He's telling us to imitate a shepherd. Look like shepherds, act like shepherds, think like shepherds, and to have a shepherd's heart. There's a great one in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. If you have a Bible, maybe take a moment to turn there. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. And in that, there are numerous passages that talk about God as a shepherd. Here's a beautiful one. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. And he gently leads those that have young. You know, it's a beautiful, simple picture. It's a story of a shepherd leading the flock to higher ground. The old mother ewe with her lamb is having trouble, let's say, keeping up. It's difficult terrain. The rocks are large. The thorns that tear and pierce her flesh are sharp, and the climb is difficult and steep. In the midst of that journey, she knows that if she falls too far behind, possibly a wolf or a hawk will feast upon not only her, but also the lamb. She wants to keep up. She knows she needs to go on. She wants to follow, but just is struggling to keep up. So what does the shepherd do? Does he scold her for being weak? Does he angrily announce his intentions to find some better sheep? No, you know what he does? He stops, he reaches down, and cradles the lamb and puts him inside of his tomb. There the lamb is safe. There he knows he is protected. There he can feel the beating of the shepherd's heart. At this point, the shepherd pats the old mother ewe on the head and gently encourages her with the words, "Come with me. We can make it. Together." At a slower but steady pace, they together renew their climb to a higher ground. This is what God does for each and every one of us. Because maybe we feel like we're the weak ones. We're like feeling like the ones that can't keep up. There's some characteristic or trait in our lives that we get beat up on. But yet God is there like the caring and great shepherd that he is. See, this is what God does for all of us. And this is what we are called to do for each other. To nurture and to encourage and to show compassion and concern. To let all those around us feel the beating of our hearts, which is the heart of Almighty God. That verse in Isaiah, boy, is that beautiful. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms, and he carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Really, really something, you know what? So we have so many wonderful things to be reminded of. One of the great ones is that Christ was referred to as the Lamb of God, wasn't he? Isn't that something? That of all of the things, here's John the Baptist looking out, seeing Jesus walking to him, and see, has, behold, what? The Lamb of God, the Lamb of God. So there are so many interesting and diverse analogies and things, and you know what they sacrificed, and we've been through a lot of that. But in closing, I want to share a little, I believe, a very moving story that will cause us to, again, appreciate, I think, the work of God, his love and care. And it's about a church in Norway. Because near the top of a steeple, you know what those are, of an old church in Norway, a small lamb is carved. It was not put there for elaborate decoration, but from the deepest gratitude. As the church was being built, a worker high on the tower scaffold lost his balance and fell to the ground. The other workers knew he would be dead, but hurriedly, quickly, down to his side. To their amazement and joyful surprise, the man was not dead. He was only slightly injured, and he was alive. Well, just before his fall, a flock of sheep wandered close to the new church on the way to pasture. That worker fell on a lamb that cushioned his fall. He was saved, but the lamb was crushed to death. Later, in tribute and honor, a craftsman climbed to the top of the tower and carved a small lamb in stone at the exact place from which the workman fell. Saved by the Lamb, who among us cannot save the same? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And yet, although I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you're with me, God. You're with me. You're with me in every given situation. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup running over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. And some translations say, pursue. Goodness and mercy are pursuing you. My exhortation sometimes is slow down long enough to let it catch up with you. See? God is wanting and desirous to work with us if we will just surrender, abandon our interest in our own best interest and how we're going to do it. God has the wisdom. God has the knowledge. He has the overall picture. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. It's pursuing me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Heavenly Father, thank you for how you have worked so magnificently on our behalf, Father, to provide so much. Lord, thank you for being our shepherd. Thank you for leading us beside the still waters. Thank you for leading us to the green pastures. And Lord, certainly through the work of your Son, Jesus, you've led us inside the fence. We are safe, we are protected, and we are loved beyond anything we could possibly have dreamed up on our own. So we love you. We're thankful for you, Father. May these words that we've read and spoken today go deep into the hearts of your people, Father, and bring out great compassion and love and care. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.